Hallelujah to the Most High God. Lord, we stand in awe today, Lord, in your presence. Lord, we're so thankful for this privilege, Lord, to come and tabernacle with you today. We invite the Holy Spirit to fill this place. Fill our hearts, oh God. Drive out the enemy, Lord. We pray that you will lift hearts, break every yoke, break every chain, and lift us up, Father, closer to heaven today. Lord, we worship you today in spirit and in truth, Lord. We pray that this worship experience, Lord, will be filled with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, let the church say amen and amen. Amen. Welcome, everyone, to the house of the Lord this morning. We want to start by repeating the fourth commandment. Some may ask, well, why are we here today? Well, it's right in the fourth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Let us say it together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God. happy.
Lord, I said, praise him in the tabernacle. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him upon the high cymbals. Praise him upon the loud sounding cymbals. He said, let everything that hath breath, you woke up this morning, use that breath to praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord this morning. I didn't say praise me. I said the Lord. Well, hallelujah this morning. We're so happy to see you in the house this morning. We know it's only because of the grace of God that you made it this morning. Amen. All those that are worshiping with us online, we appreciate you tuning in. You could have gone anywhere, but you chose to be right here with us at 1721 Parker Road. Amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, every Sabbath, you know, I missed you all just from last week. It seemed like it was a long time, but these weeks go by and a lot goes over in just 1 week. You know, the enemy, the Bible says, and we said it through Sabbath school, if anyone chooses to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. See, as long as you're living for the devil, yeah, you're having a good time. That good time is only going to last for a short little while. But Satan says, no, I want to break loose your hold upon faith. So every day we have to say, Lord, give me strength. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just give me faith for today. Amen. Amen. So we're just so thankful that the saints of God are remaining faithful. Because I know this morning the bed wanted to try and hold you, but you said, no, I'm coming on. I got to praise him this morning. That right, Brother Carlos? Your heart might be heavy, but you got to praise him. Yes. He says only two times to praise the Lord, when you feel like it and when you don't.
That's right.
Amen. In every circumstance, we got to find a way to praise the Lord this morning. It's so good to see Brother Miller back in the house. Amen. He had been in the hospital. Amen. He's like that Energizer Bunny. He takes a licking, but it keeps on ticking.
Praise
the Lord. God is good. Just to see Brother Miller. Seems like he's getting younger and younger. Amen. You're looking good. It's good to see Brother Jerry in the house.
Amen.
He just underwent surgery, and he's back in the house. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
We want to pray for Elder Wellington, who's in urgent care right now. So we just want to pray for him. We want to continue to pray for Sister Beverly. She had surgery on yesterday. She's recovering. Amen.
Amen.
And Sister Robin is taking care of her. Praise the Lord. It's good to have people to take care of you when you're down. Amen. I've been off work for 2 months. And I thank God for my best half. Amen. Praise the good Lord. And it's so good to see Sister Dorothy Buchanan. Sister Buchanan. Amen. Did I get it right? All right. Praise the Lord. You gave me that look. All right. And Sister Verdia back home. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Verdia.
Amen.
Amen. It's always good to see Kia and Tiana right there by your side. Your two daughters right there on either side. Praise the Lord. Now this evening at 7:30, we're going to have a meeting that we haven't had in a long time. It's called a church business meeting.
Amen.
You know, we have our church councils and we have our church board meetings. But the business meeting is for everybody. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Amen. And this is where we discuss the work of God's church. There's some things that the board may pass, but it has to be ratified by the church.
Amen.
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 You heard of the State of the Union address? Well, we want to hear the State of the Church address to see where we are and where we're heading. Amen. Because we're not stagnant. We're headed. We just want to keep growing higher and higher. Amen. Because this place is the pep rally. This is not where we just come here and just pat each other on the back and shout, rah, rah, rah. But this is where we get excited, filled up to go out. And the service is out there. Amen.
Amen.
The service is out there. And so we want to see the best way that God can lead us in doing the service of the Lord. So this meeting is going to be at 7:30, sunsets at 7:36, 7:37. So we're going to have a short vespers, and we're going to go right into our business session. And these business sessions are not the time to bring your brickbats and load up. This is the time to be on your knees and be prayerful. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of times we don't want to come to these meetings unless there's some kind of scandal or something going on, then the place is full. You know. But we want you, I know it's going to be hard to come at 7:30. I know, you know, sun sets 7:30. We sing Day is Dying in the West, but we don't want you to die. We want you to come on out, keep hope alive, and come on back out. Because when we vote and talk about things, and then later on you say, man, why did the church do that? Well, your voice wasn't here. Okay? So we want to make sure you come here at 7:30 this evening. And on every Wednesday we've been having our last day events class. Amen. It's been very beautiful. Those classes, last day events. How many of you believe we're living in the last days? We're in the time of the end. Not the end of time, but the time of the end. We're not quite there yet. But we can't wait to the very end to say, now I'm going to get ready. It's time to get ready right now and stay ready. Amen. And so last day events, we're studying chapter 6. Entitled, I believe, Christian Lifestyle. Is dealing with the Christian lifestyle. Because God expects a lifestyle of the Christian. God says that ye are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. So when they see us, we don't look like, we don't act like, we don't talk like, we don't eat like the world. Amen. There's something that sets us apart. Amen. Some of us say, well, I'll be glad when my change comes, when we all get to heaven. But guess what? That change has to come before we get to heaven. Our characters are the only thing that we're going to take to heaven. And God is trying to take us through that transforming power right now. It's called sanctification. God is setting us apart for his holy use. Amen. One thing we have to say is, Lord, I'm willing. I surrender all. It's not a fight, but it's a surrender. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we just want to remind you that this coming Wednesday, we won't be on the prayer line. Pastor's going out of town, but we want you to still study that chapter. So 2 weeks from now, because the following week after that, we're going to be on the conference line. Amen. So in May, we'll be back on the prayer line. So we'll have plenty of time to study and be ready to engage in that service. So at this time, let us stand for our praise and worship time. Amen. Amen. There is no God like my God.
Oh, my God. Forward for the altar prayer. Please come forward and join us at the altar. Dear God, Father God, Jesus, Son of God, and Holy Spirit, our Comforter, we come before you today. First of all, Lord, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, that this prayer is not hindered, Lord God. Lord, your people are standing before you. We are in need, God. We're standing in need of you. We're standing in need of hearing you, hearing us. You are the true and living God. Lord, you know the needs of each and every person in this place and each and every family represented. But God, we are standing on the precipice of eternity. And God, we need more of you and less of us. God, we need to know and hear from you. We need a revival, God. We need to be awakened out of our slumber. Lord, we need to draw close to you, and we need you to draw close to us. God, we need a cleansing from all unrighteousness. Right now, God, we need you. We need to hear from you. God, we need you to... Jesus, we need you to reconcile us to the Father through your precious blood. We need you to reform us. We need you, Lord, to take away all of our bad habits. Lord, help us to give them to you, not put them behind us, because when they're behind us, they'll catch up with us, God, and they'll come back into our lives. We need to give them to you where you can completely cast them into the depths of the sea, and they will return no more to us. Father God, we need you to restore to us everything that the enemy has stolen from us and taken from us, Father God. God, we need you. We need you right now. God, we need you to rebuke sickness from our homes, from us, from our family. Please rebuke it from us in the name of Jesus. God, we need you to send the Comforter to us for those who have lost loved ones, Father God. We need peace restored to us, God. We need your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We need your helps, Father God. God, some of us don't even know that we have turned away from you or that the enemy has his cruel grip on us. But God, we need you to free us from the grip of the enemy. God, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We need you to open our eyes to your plans for us. And we need you to help us, God, to give us a love of the truth and help us to obey the truth. In your name, We need you to help us. Father God, we are living at a time in this earth's history that there is darkness all around us. Everywhere, God, there is darkness. We turn on our TVs and we see things that we should not see. Lord, we hear things that we should not hear. Lord, our church is empty. And God, I'm asking you to bring people from the highways and byways. Open up our ears and our eyes that we may hear from you and that we may bring others to you, God. God, bring back those who have left. I'm praying for those who are missing from this congregation right now, God. God, I'm praying that they would hear your voice and they would return to you, God. God, I'm praying for those who have never known you, but they have a desire to know you, and they don't even know that they have a desire to know you. I'm praying for our family members, God, that we want them to be saved, God. Please, God, help us to be an influence on them for godliness and for righteousness, God. They know some of the things we've done, and they look at us and they say, why would we follow you? But God, help them to see you in us and help them to follow you, God. Dear God, nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross we cling. God, help us in our daily lives to represent you truly and faithfully. Help us to be faithful in returning our tithes and offering. Lord, I lift up the speaker of the hour right now, God. God, you know his heart. You know how much he loves you, God. And God, Holy Spirit, enter into him that as he breaks the bread of life, he will bring the word that you know we need to hear today. I pray for all those under the sound of his voice today, are those here and those online, God, that he would bring conviction to the hearts of those listening today, God. Oh, dear God, I pray for my sister, Lord, who is at death's door. I pray, Father God, that you would bring conviction to her heart, God, and I pray that you would save her in your kingdom. And I pray for everyone in our families, Lord, that we've been praying for, that we've been asking you to save, God. And I'm asking you to save them, God. I'm asking you to help them to hear your voice. God, I'm praying that you would open up the eyes of our understanding to know your plans and your will for our lives. Give us a love of the truth and help us to obey the truth as it is in you, Christ Jesus. God, awaken us from our slumber and help us to know and to do what is right always. Father God, I pray that you would bless us exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could ask or think. Help us to obey your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. God, I'm asking you to give us the nations. And I'm asking you, God, to bring us within your will, Lord, and help us daily to give you our plans for each day and give you our wills for each day and to do according as you lead and as you guide us, God. I pray for the homeless population in this entire metropolitan area, God, and the homeless ministry, Lord. I pray that you would grant us a holy influence upon them and everyone we come in contact with, dear God. I pray that you would rebuke the devourer for our sakes, dear God, and that you would keep us and bless us according to your will. And all these things we ask, and whatever we have failed to pray for, whatever we have failed to ask, may you fail not to grant it, Lord. All these things we ask in your precious, blessed, and holy name. Amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath.
Good morning.
Oh, that was pretty weak. Let's try that again. Good morning and happy Sabbath.
Good morning.
All right. Praise God. Glad to see everyone's smiling faces. And now, of course, is a time where everyone can participate. Stewardship time. How many of you recognize that God has called us to be faithful stewards? Faithful of our time, talent, temple, and treasure. Not that he needs it, but he wants us to learn to share, to recognize him as the one who gives us everything that we have to begin with. Amen. Has God been good to you this week?
Amen.
Amen. You're sitting here, so I know he's been good to you. If he just didn't think of us for a second, we would die. But God has us continually on his mind because we are his children, the sheep of his pasture, and his greatest desire is for us to be in heaven and to reign with him forever and ever. That's why he gave us his son, Jesus. Can we get an amen for Jesus?
Amen.
The ultimate example of stewardship, who gave himself for our sakes who did not deserve it, not one bit. But because he loves us so much, he gives to us more than we can ever give back to him. I want to remind you, July 27th, what day is that? Backpack Sabbath.
Amen.
July 27th, going to be here next week. The way things are working, is going to be here next week. July 27th, Backpack Sabbath. How many backpacks are we giving out?
600
backpacks. I want to give you a little secret. The backpacks are already filled.
Amen.
600 backpacks with school supplies. They're already in the backpacks. They're just waiting for each one of you. And the backpacks are waiting for you to share that news with your families that have children, your friends who have children, relatives that have children, anybody that has children. Let them know it's a free backpack with school supplies in it. The mind is a terrible thing to waste, and we want to do our part to help our young people get an education. Amen. So July 27th, put it on your calendar. We need you to come out prepared to do some work, handing out the backpacks. Come with a smile, wear your Tabernacle Praise t-shirt. And I think it's going to be a blessed day. It's going to be on the Eventbrite. We're going to put it out in the news. So there's going to be a lot of people, first come, first serve. If you come late, that's on you. So come in time to get yourself a backpack for your children, and also an opportunity for us to meet and greet our neighbors and our relatives. Amen. Also want to remind you, April 28th, Sunday, that's 12 Steps to Success. Do you want to be a success in life? I know I do. So join us at 5 p.m. If you don't have the number, see me afterward. And also, if you have a cell phone, see Sister Karen Lewis that gave the prayer, and give her your number so you can be on the list for announcements, for church announcements. That way you know what's going on in your church. Amen. At this time, would our deacons come forward to lift the morning tithe and offerings? I want to also encourage you. We're all striving to increase our giving to 10% tithe, 5% offering. Put that on your heart for prayer. Put that on your list to pray that God will give you a desire and the ability to return a faithful 10% tithe, 10% or 5% offering. And we're looking for 100% participation. Everyone, we want you to increase in your giving. Do you think God needs your money? No, it's an opportunity. It's a challenge for us to learn that God is Jehovah Jireh, as we sang, our provider. We don't get our provision from other people. It comes from God. And he wants us to recognize that in returning a faithful tithe and offering, as well as a faithful stewardship of our time, talent, temple, and treasure. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity, the challenge to be faithful in our time, talent, temple, and treasure, to be honest in our giving and our returning of our tithe and our offering, that it may be used for a worthy purpose. Bless us, dear Lord, to know that you are our source, that you are our provider, and that we have nothing to fear except we forget how you have blessed us, provided, and led us in the past. Be with us all, dear Lord. Help us to remain faithful to thee. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can you guys hear me clearly?
Amen.
Let me try it again. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah.
So you guys can hear me. But I'm not really worried about if you really hear me. I'm just waiting on God to respond to my praise. Is that okay?
Yes,
now, you know, and it's wonderful when you get surprises. Amen?
Amen.
You feel real good about it, and you want to enjoy it, and you embrace it, and you just have a good old time with yourself because you receive something that surprised you, right?
Uh-huh.
Man, I tell you, my mom is in the building. My sister is in the building. Two of my sisters. Really three. I consider my cousin really my sister too. Man, man, you guys, man, the Lord finna show all the way out today. Not because of me and because I'm standing here. It's because of his love for us. He got something special for you today. This message is going to empower you. And you're going to be leaving her victorious. See, I know the devil and we know how he operates. And because we know it doesn't mean that he don't get the best of us sometimes. But not today. At this moment, in the presence of God, we're here to be empowered. Is that okay? Now, y'all been knowing me for over 18 years now. You know how me and God get down. We're not here to play. We're not here to show out. This is not a showtime ordeal. We're not in Hollywood. God don't believe in entertaining people. God believe in saving folks. So for those who are online, I'm just letting you know right now, get ready. Because here come the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, come journey with me now. I'm not going to be long. I hope nobody just walked in the door and missed the worship experience in music and in prayer. As a matter of fact, I should have gave the benediction when I got up here because Sister Karen just gave the whole prayer.
Amen.
The whole sermon. Who are you guys going to see? She's going to see this when she get into the word. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready for the word? Okay. Good. Me too. Our scripture reading is going to come from the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Come on and stand with me so we can read the word of God together. Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read the first verse. And we're going to read verses 9 through 11. So once I read the first verse, you'll read the second, and we will conclude reading the third verse all together. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go. have made known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Well, let's read all this one together. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to his purpose, of him who works all things according to his will. Oh, man, come on. For a moment, I want you to think on this subject with me. The master's plan. Every head is bowed. Spirit of the living God, it is truly your time now. Now I ask that all the things that you allow me to discover in my studies with you, now I'm asking now that you will pour out the Holy Spirit like never before in this place. I'm asking that you open up the library of heaven for all of us now, that we may encounter such beautiful truths about what is your plan. So open our eyes that we may see the glimpses of truth direct from thee. We believe in your hands you hold the marvelous keys. So now unlock all revelations and all mysteries. So take me now, God, your servant, by the hand, and reveal to your people your heavenly plan. So take us all now as you would, and we'll continue to praise your name as we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I see smiles out there. It's just like the brother's up. We haven't seen him for a while, But the Lord has been blessing us. And this reading, you know, is talking about God's plan. If you read it from another translation, like the NLT, the New Living Translation, man, it'll open your mind a little bit broader to what the scripture's reading. We just read it from the New King James Version, amen? But if you go back and read it in that translation, it's going to blow your mind. It's going, in fact, allow you to see what heaven has in store for you. Right. Now, we know that Jesus is about to come, and we say that all the time, and we prepare ourselves. I hope you guys are preparing yourselves. Amen. Yeah. Ain't no sense to you. What are you coming in church for if you're not preparing yourself for the second coming? In the sanctuary, it's good to worship God. It's good to serve God. But if you're not prepared for him to come back, you're wasting your time. I didn't come to talk at you and to try to step on your toes. I just want you to make it to heaven. Any minister standing behind this podium, his whole ordeal should be to, number one, educate you in the word of God and try to encourage you to make the right choice by staying on God's side, because we all want to meet him when he comes. Is that the truth? Is that your testimony? Amen. All right, cool. All right, let's get into the word. All right, let's get into the word. Because I'm not going to be long. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. Let's look at verse 13 and 14 in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, the Bible lets us know that even though that God has a plan, and he truly moved to execute it, and he truly allow us now for it to be revealed to us, the devil don't like that. Right. And it makes me smile and laugh because if he don't like something, that means he's upset. Now, how many times have he have upset you about something? So when you know that the word of God goes forth and it comes into your life and it does you so well and you want to praise God so much and it makes you feel like, man, I just can't wait till Jesus come, he gets upset. So I'm just laughing. I'm laughing at the camera just in case he's out there watching. Jesus saves. That plan is for us not to be lost. The Bible tells us that hell was created for the devil. So we have no business going there. Okay. I hope that thing don't fall. I've been on doing that. All right. Okay. Understand this. The devil has a device planned himself. You obviously know that? As a matter of fact, his plan, come on. Somebody say his plan. See, once we understand what his plan is and know it is, then we'll know which direction to take. And matter of fact, you ought to be trying to get some instructions from God. Amen. So look at this. So the devil's plan is this. You ain't going to be shocked. You should be like, oh, yeah. This is not a surprise. His plan is to devour the people of God. Amen. The Bible says that he roars around the earth like a lion, seeking. Who do you think he's seeking? Now, he's not seeking crack dealers and drug addicts and prostitutes and gang members and crooked politicians and you know, these R&B singers and recording artists. He's not seeking them. He already have them. Anything that stands in the relationship way between man and God, he comes to seek to destroy. Okay. So this is what he does. We're talking about Lucifer. We're talking about Satan. We're talking about the dragon. We're talking about the devil, whatever name you want to call him, your enemy. I hope you say he's your enemy. Amen. Now look, this is what he does. He causes confusion. You believe that? He causes confusion and he creates trouble, sickness, divorces, irritation, depression, diseases. And he's hoping to deter us from reaching heaven with all of that stuff. But God, the Holy Spirit, has a plan. And understand this, when God, the Holy Spirit, in his infinite wisdom, he takes those things. Look, this is beautiful. He takes those things that the devil did, all that stuff I just told you that the devil tried to cause and do for you. He'll take all of that stuff, what the devil is doing, what the devil meant for bad, he'll turn this thing around and make it for our good. Boy, that's powerful. Now get this. When you go to the Bible and you see some things in scriptures, you'll understand that, okay, there's really two masters. And the Bible tells us that we can't serve two masters. So God has already given us, you know, that one will be for you and one will be against you. And then God is asking you the question, but which one are you for? Whose side are you on? Who gets your worship? Who gets your attention? Who monopolizes your time? Where do you stand? Who are you a slave to? Okay, let's look at this scripture. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans what chapter?
Five.
And notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse number 3 to verse number 5. Romans chapter 5. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
You guys there? Somebody have Romans chapter 5? Because I'm going to do something different today. Romans chapter 5. And when you get there, say, I have found the answer. Okay, so since someone has found the answer, I'm asking somebody to stand up and read this text for me and watch what the Holy Spirit does with it. Romans chapter 5, go to verse number 3. I want you to read verse number 3, verse number 4, and verse number 5. I just mentioned some of the things that the devil throw at you. God will use those same things to work out for our good.
Yeah.
In other words, that what the devil does, because I know sometimes you guys, and me too, let me not, sometimes we have that question for God. Man, why are you letting me go through all this, right? We have that question. And God said, I see what the enemy is doing, but I'm going to turn this thing around in your favor. It's going to benefit you.
Yeah.
So this is what it says. So when he give you tribulation, he said, that's going to produce you some patience. And when he do this and when he do that, God said, look, I'm going to give you so much of my spirit and so much of my character. I'm going to allow that stuff, what the devil is doing to you, while you thinking, oh, man, he's just bothering me. He's getting on my nerve. He's about to try to just aggravate me and irritate me and devastate me. And God's saying, you know what? I'm going to take all of that and form you more like me. That's a real masterful plan. When you can take something that the enemy does and use it to benefit somebody else. When you know his job, when you know his strategy, when you know his outcome is to destroy you. So God is taking the same thing that the devil wanted to destroy you and devour you, and he wants to use that to build you up. It's been many times I've been in my secret closet with God, and I'm like, man, God, why are you just letting this stuff happen to me? And one thing after another, and I feel like I'm Job, and I'm saying, why? I don't know if I'm going to make it the next day. And God said, yes, you are. You can't teach. I'm telling you what God says to me. You can't teach something and not live it. You can't teach that God is on people's side, and when trouble comes, you try to encourage them, and you don't really know what you're talking about if you ain't been through something. Sometimes the evidence or sometimes the experience is more important than your knowledge. That makes sense? It's the truth anyway. Now, look at verse 8 and 9. Believe it or not, I'm almost finished. I said almost. Who has verse 8 and 9? Anybody have verse 8 and 9? Romans chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9.
Well,
I told you. See, the devil causes all of this stuff for us to sin, and he know God hates it, and he know God will punish sin. He knows that, right? And but while we were yet still sinning and in all kinds of sin, Jesus said, yeah, I know, but I didn't create them to die. So what Jesus did, here's the plan. He's letting his father know, he even volunteered. They in a Godhead meeting in heaven. And he said, hey, let us make man in our image. And in our likeness and all that. And the plan was to create a being, because angels, listen to this, don't miss this. Angels that is in heaven, the 24 elders, the seraphims and the cherubims and those angels, even Lucifer, do you not know that they are created different from us? Or should I just reverse that and say we are created different from them? When God created us, it was something special. That's why the Bible teaches us that we are created in his image and after his likeness. When the devil saw that, he got upset. He got truly furious and mad about it. He looked at Adam and Eve and was like, wait a minute. That's not him. It looks like him, but that ain't really him. But he got so upset that God created something after him, almost identical. And he's so mad because he didn't get that type of creation. And now since he can't bother God, he comes after us. The thing that was created like God. Here we go. The devil calls us to sin with temptations, with strategies, and we fall short of the glory of God. And we get beside ourselves. And we should. It should bother you. Because there's doing something wrong. But we shouldn't get beside ourselves to the point whereas, because we have sinned, I might as well leave God. I heard people say this. Now I can't go back to church. I'm like, why you can't go back to church? Man, the building would fall on me if I go back in church. They feel that their sins are so great that God won't forgive them. That God won't cleanse. When the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive, not only just to forgive your sins, but cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God's job, or God the Holy Spirit's function, is to save folks. Jesus already did it in the physical sense, but now in the spiritual sense, where we don't see Jesus anymore because he's not here, God the Holy Spirit is saying, look, let me teach you how to do this thing so you can be saved. God has a plan. So all you got to do is tap into it. God has a plan for your life. Let me say it that way. Is that okay? Okay, give me about 10 minutes. We're going to get out of here, okay? Okay. When I was reviewing Deuteronomy chapter 2, you know, I used to ask God, why did you take the children of Israel through the wilderness after you brought them out of Egypt? Now, I thought that you wanted that Moses to lead them to your holy mountain, Mount Zion, which he did. And God gave him the commandments, which he did. And the people did what they did, evil and all that stuff. And afterwards, it's like God said, okay, now I promise you a land. I promise you a land that's just so beautiful, filled with milk and honey and all this stuff for you to enjoy, for me to strengthen you, and for you to keep these commandments so the whole world can know that you're my people, right? That's biblical, right? But on the way there, he stopped and put them in a secret place. We call it the wilderness. And in Deuteronomy chapter 2, it reveals why God did that. Had you ever wondered why? Okay, well, you're going to find out today. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy what chapter? Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Somebody is smiling and laughing because they're reading it. Come on, sister, stand up and read it for us.
Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea.
Uh-huh.
The Lord spoke to me, and when he skirted, when skirted Mount Seir for many days.
Is that Deuteronomy chapter? Deuteronomy chapter 8. I said chapter 2. That's not right. Forgive me. I am human. Amen. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Come on, to somebody say amen again. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 and 2.
Every commandment which command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and
possess
the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers.
Uh-huh. What God is trying to say to us today in our day and age is this. The earth has become the wilderness. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the devil claims the world to be his. And he brings all this foolishness about when you look at the news, you just, man, it makes you don't want to watch it. But it should be a wake-up call for Christians to see that we are in this kind of stuff. We are living in these kind of times. Right. But God is trying to reveal to us, there's a reason why I got you here. Number one, God is trying to purify us through what the devil is doing. I told you that. The commandments of God, here is God saying, look, you are being tested.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible just said. He said, you are being tested just to see if you will keep my commandments, because the commandments of God are it is a identifying mark for you. It lets you know who you belong to. As a matter of fact, when you look at the first four commandments, it's talking about God himself. So God is trying to see in the relationship between you and him, are you going to do these things? And then the last six commandments is for a relationship between you and somebody else, or you and another human, or us together. God said, I want to see how much you love me, and I want to see how much you love each other. That's the test. Because understand something, God is love. The devil don't love you. Show me your evidence. Give me your evidence that the devil has. What has he done for you? So why would you decide by certain choices to serve him? The Bible says he got two masters. So some of the choices that people make, even though when God speaks, they don't even want to hear it. Because it disrupts their way of living. And when God is trying to alter and change and to adjust, he is the potter trying to mold and shape us into the way he wanted us to be. So when Jesus come back, we're going to be identified as a commandment-keeping people. Understand something about this. Heaven, the place you all of us wants to go, heaven is prepared for a law-abiding citizen. That's why the commandments are important. It identifies you and your creator. Now show me a commandment the devil has given you. Show me a commandment that the devil has given you to show your relationship with him. Nobody can do that? I didn't think so either. But understand something. Two masters, two plans. All right. Okay. So this, when God says no man can serve two masters, the devil, he claims to be the ruler of this world. He entices the inhabitants on the earth with earthly goods to lure them from the Creator. Entice them with what? Worldly goods. We always begging God for stuff and materialistic things. But no, I'm not going to say nobody. But how many of us pray and ask God to give us more of His character? Do anybody pray, God, I need some patience. Lord, I need some long sufferings. I would love to experience some true and living joy. I would love this. You ain't asking God for that stuff. But that's what's going to, that's going to make you over for you to be fit for His kingdom. And we want to beg God, I want this house. I want this car. I want this man. I want this woman. I want these shoes. I want this dress. I want this suit. And I don't know. I know I want another suit. But I ain't going to ask God for it. Amen. I'm going to ask my wife for it. Amen. But listen. The devil get us caught up and allure us with earthly goods. And get this. That stuff is revealed in Matthew chapter 4, right? Jesus went into, oh, wow, thank you, Holy Spirit. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, I want you to parallel it to Matthew chapter 4. Go home, that's going to be your homework. You're going to see a beautiful experience because what God did, remember God said He led the children of Israel to the wilderness. For how many years? 40 years. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 4. Where? In the wilderness. And He was there for 40 days. Jesus illustrated and showed us how to be victorious over our enemy. And remember, He offered Jesus, and I'm laughing because it's kind of, the devil just makes me laugh because can I say that, God? Is it okay to say that? He's just stupid. How are you going to offer the Creator who created the world? How are you going to offer Him all the kingdoms of the world? And He is the King of kings, and you trying to claim your stuff on earth. And you know God created you. And when I started reading the Bible a certain way, it just amazed me how Lucifer up in heaven, the first created being, God gave him a special seat on the throne and he wanted more. Now, this is the part that gets me. How you get an attitude with God about something and he didn't gave you? And He gave you everything. I say that to say this. Look in the mirror. Do you see yourself acting like that sometimes? That you get mad? No, I'm going to raise my hand. I'm a preacher. I am guilty of this. Sometimes I get mad with God. I'm like, man, why in the world? It's like, haven't I went through enough? And I'm serious. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna put in my resignation. I'm done. I am not preaching no more. I'm done. No. This ain't right, God. And the Lord just brought me to this story. He said, "You're my son. So don't act like the devil." The devil wants to have his way. That's why he got up mad in heaven. He didn't want to do what God asked him to do. He wanted to do his own thing. He, as a matter of fact, claims that stuff when you read Isaiah chapter 13. Is that right? Chapter 14, verse 13. So, two masters, two plans. And his plan is to deceive all. That's the devil's plan. God is not trying to deceive nobody. He's trying to save people, right? Is that right? Now, so the other enemy, his plan is to deceive all with temporary desires of lust that produces sin, which leads to death. You can see that in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. James chapter 1, write that down. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. The devil tried to allure you with lustful desires. And the Bible says them type of desires will lead to sin, and sin will lead to death. Eternal death. So this is, here it is. God has given us principles to live by. Therefore, anything else or anything otherwise is a set up preference. I said it's a set up preference. When you prefer to do something against God, like Lucifer or the devil, then it shows you, man, the devil about to set your tail up. His job is to devour you. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. But somebody say, well, thank God that God's plan is to give us eternal life. Okay? I'm not in no preaching mood. For some reason, I came in with a headache. So y'all don't mind if I teach, right? Is that okay? All right. So what James is telling us in the Bible, in James chapter 1, is telling us that a selfish preference over biblical principles are very dangerous. You guys understand that? I say it again. James is telling us that selfish preferences over biblical principles are very dangerous. So, whomever plan you decide to follow, I believe this, whoever plan you decide to follow, you have made that plan or that person or that entity, you have made them your master. You have made them your master. Two masters, two plans. God said you can't have both. But I have never experienced slavery like we have learned it. I wasn't there. I didn't see it, but our ancestors did, and that's a horrible thing. But spiritually, some of us are in slavery, and the devil is having his way with some people. And this is why the church, God's servant, are called to free those people. He said Jesus came to set the captives free. And then Jesus said, look here, I'm going to give you the same power. That's what he told his disciples. He said, hey, you guys meet me in Galilee and watch how the Holy Spirit is going to come up on you, and you're going to receive power. And when they received power, man, they was going out there doing kinds of miracles just like Jesus. And we have that same power if we tap into it. But I think some of us scared of it. Oh, we just so lazy, we don't even want to work for God. So we don't want to go out there and heal somebody. We don't go out there and allow somebody who's on their deathbed. And using your faith and saying, God, I believe you sent me here. Now do something special and show yourself. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Where somebody can be saved. Remember, God is trying to build his kingdom. And the number is not yet made up. But when the number is made up, I hope you be in it. Because I know I'm going to be in it. Because when the saints go marching in, I'm going to be right in there marching in with them. When the roll is called up yonder and he opened up his book, I want to see my name in gold with a check mark in red representing the blood. Saying you went through a lot of stuff, so I'm going to refine you as gold is refined. And I know it's been covered by my son's blood. I hope it's really like that. That would be sweet. Your name in gold. Woo! And you know what? Okay, give me 3 minutes. Okay. We have to realize that the Bible in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. It tells us something truly about slavery. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. And look at the question that the Bible asks you. It says, now, do you realize that you become the slave to whoever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. And then the Bible asks another question. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Who are you going to decide to be your master? I don't know about you guys, but as for me, in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. That's who's going to be our master. Now, I'm going to end this message with this. Choices have to be made . Temptation is going to come. The devil going to throw everything at you. And I mean everything. Because the Bible says he only have a short time to do it. And when things start happening. And oh man, you know what? You guys are getting a glimpse of a sermon series that I'm doing. And it's called The Master's Plan. This ain't even part one. This is just giving you the prelim introduction from notes that came out of my head from the Holy Spirit. But there is a real deeper understanding of God's plan and Satan's plan. The Bible, and I'm just going to give you a little of this, and then I'm going to sit down. The Bible says in Thessalonians, I believe it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the devil is going to set up a false system of worship. Right now, today, in our day and age, there is a political and religious figure that meets up with the United Nations right now. The United Nations meaning every president, every leader on planet Earth, that person is meeting with them. And what they are forming is called a new world order. And now they're trying to change it, then trying to call it present truth. And I'm going to show it to you from the Bible when God gave me the whole thing of the series. But we have to be careful for anyone who stands before you, and I'm talking about in the pulpit, it can be on your job, it can be in the church, true enough, but it can be also right in your own home. on the TV. I mean, these politicians are horrible. Anytime that you take the Ten Commandments off a government building, something is wrong. You're saying, okay, we're finna replace God because we're standing in place of him, and we are. I was watching this movie called Malice. Go and look at it. And I got 30 seconds and I'm gonna sit down. I was watching this movie called Malice. This guy was a doctor. He was a head surgeon, and he had a board meeting, you know, with the rest of the doctors. And the doctors came and asked him, they said, hey man, let me ask you a question. You know, you do absolutely just amazing work, and everybody just notice what you do. Do you have a God complex? This is his answer. Go watch the movie. It's called Malice. Alex Baldwin, he's the guy. This guy says, look, when little kids come and their parents are crying that they little kids need to be fixed and healed from my surgery, and when other people comes in and asks me to do these miracles, and you have the nerve to ask me, do I have a God complex? He said, I am God. This is where man is headed. Where God is removed from getting and receiving any credit. And it just amazed me how the creatures renounces their creator. The Bible says, if you deny, God, Jesus says, if you deny me before men, like I'm not God, okay, when the time comes, I'm going to deny you from my before my Father and say, they are not worthy to get in our kingdom. That makes sense? It's the truth, though, seriously, is in the Bible. All right. I said I was going to get done in 30 seconds, right? So here we are. The master's plan is for us to recognize God's requirement because he has a reward for those who trust him. The other master plan is to take you away from being a trustworthy commandment keeping person so you can miss out on the reward that God has in store for you. Two masterful plans. But who will you choose to be a slave to? Every head is bowed. Jesus, Son of the living God, we are so grateful that you had a plan from the beginning, because you know that the enemy, our enemy, because we're on your side, has devised a plan to keep us separated from you, our creator, our redeemer, and the one who can sustain us by your power. This master God is trying to substitute you in the earth that you created. So we're asking that the power of God overcome him. And we know you did it before, and we know you're going to do it again. But in the meantime, before Jesus decide to come, let us be your mouthpiece. Let us be your feet and let us be your hands. For you created us with these limbs to do a marvelous work, to tell people around your creation that you love them and you want to save them. Help us help you build your kingdom, God. We choose you this day to serve, not just today, but forevermore. So when you come back, you can identify us as being one of your children. And we ask that you will give us this day the power to fight on, keeping our faith and finishing our course. So now, Jesus Christ, we believe you have spoken. Holy Spirit, thank you for the anointing. Now we ask that you continue to walk with us through this journey for the rest of these 24 hours and the rest of our lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's give Elder McCray a big amen for that powerful message sent from the Lord. The master's plan. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Amen. To be peace and not evil, but bring you to an expected end. Amen. So let's just pray that we will be faithful to that end. Amen. Let us stand as a testament to our faithfulness and our willingness to follow God's plan. Heavenly Father, truly you spoke through your man servant. And Lord, it is our desire, Lord, to be faithful to your guidance, Lord. Come what may, Lord, we know that you are able to keep us from falling as long as we stay submitted to you. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Both now and forevermore. And the people said together, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated as the deacons usher you out. We want to remind you this evening at 7:30. By God's grace, we want to see you out for our business meeting. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.
Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God.
Take